Hi, and welcome to the West Visalia Audio Podcast. Each message is designed to help you grow and inspire you to take action. Please take a moment to hit the subscribe button, and don't be shy to drop us a message if you have a question. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
I'll be reading Matthew 5, verses 2 through 6. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit through the earth. And blessed are those who hunger for thirst for the righteousness, for they shall be satisfied."
Amen. Jacob, for that scripture reading, and as you can tell, we're going to be getting back into or continuing our series on the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So if you haven't opened up your Bible there, please go ahead and do that. And as you're doing that, let me welcome you here. If this is your first time here at our congregation, we're glad that you're here. Hope you found us to be a welcoming and friendly people. We're not a perfect people, but you try to serve Him too. Last week, before we got into lesson, we announced some giving that we did. We also announced a prayer request. One of our missionaries that we support in Guatemala, Byron Benitez, he had COVID, and then in the recovery of COVID, he had severe heart problems that put him in the ICU there in Guatemala. For a while there, it was not looking good at all. I mean, the functionality of his heart was down to like 27% or something like that. And the care maybe in the facilities there is obviously not maybe to the same tier of the care that we're used to here in the States. And there's some worry there, but we kept him in prayers. And there's some medical bills that were piling up. We were able to send $5,000 to help out with that, and I'm excited to announce that last week, Byron was able to send us a video, and I'm going to share the video. If hopefully it comes through on the screen. If not, I'll give you a little summary of it. But here's a video from Byron. Let's see. Let me see if I hit play. Hold on. Nope, that didn't do it. Let's go back. We're going to try one more time. There we go.
Because I'm home.
So I thought that was pretty awesome to hear that Byron is doing better, so we want to thank God for that, absolutely. Excited, too, to see his spirits that are up, the fact that he's praising God, and also for the opportunity that while he's in the hospital there, he's trying to set up Bible studies with the people that are caring for him. Byron's a pretty awesome guy. I had the privilege of getting to see him work there in Guatemala a couple years ago, and him and the rest of the team there with Hawatha and Snezana and the rest of the crew, they do an amazing work there, and his demeanor there being up and having a good spirit was something definitely that was an encouragement. So I want to thank all of you for your continued giving too, as we're able to support good works like that. Several years ago, it seems like it was yesterday, but it was actually several years ago, Zinni and I, along with her cousin Alex and Sydney, we had the privilege of doing a hike to Half Dome. That's the map of the hike right there, and I shared this story with you before, by way of illustration. I'm going to do that again because I think it makes a good point. Well, the hike to Half Dome is like, I don't know, like 16, 14 miles long round trip. It starts at the bottom of Yosemite Valley and goes all the way up to the top of Half Dome, which is one of the higher mountains there. Some parts of the hike are not that strenuous. They're well-worn paths and there's not a lot of incline, but as you go along, there's a lot of rocky inclines and it gets harder and harder as you go. Well, the last place where you can get water on the hike is right here, which is at the Merced River. It's like Little Yosemite Valley. And then from there to the top of Half Dome and back is 8 miles. Now, all the experts will tell you, make sure you hydrate a bunch at that river there. Fill your camelbacks and your water bottles and make sure you have them all filled up because you're going to need it, because that last part of the hike is the hard part of the hike, okay? It's the part where your legs feel like they're going to fall off. But my mentality was water's for the weak. I don't need that. So I drank a little bit there, and I put some in my backpack. And I was like, oh, that's good enough. You know what I mean? The people that need that, those people aren't tough. So we did the hike. And I made it to the top of Half Dome when my water was gone. So now I have the entire way back to that river on no water. And it's high elevation. It's kind of dry. You're tired. You've been, like, you're me, you're snacking on trail mix the whole time, which makes you even more thirsty. So now I had this, you know, extra 4 miles we had to go downhill, and it's not easy downhill. If you've ever done hard hiking, the downhill is the stuff that kills you, okay? The uphill isn't that bad, but that downhill stuff beats you up. And we were going down, and I remember thinking, as I'm, okay, I got to just keep going. We're going to get to that river. Then I can get a drink. Just keep going. Don't stop, because if you have to stop and rest, you're just going to get more thirsty. So might as well keep going. I think at one point I'm, like, jogging down this trail thinking it would help me. I don't think it did. But I need to hurry up and get to that river. I remember getting there, and there it is. The beautiful, I think it's the Merced River. It's not actually that pretty, okay? It's kind of muddy where you get water. I saw a snake in it even, but I didn't even care. It was like when I got there, it was like, yes, water. It's like I've been traveling through the Sahara Desert, and there's, and I remember I took my little Camelback thing with a little filter, and I put it in there trying to get it to work, squeezing it out. A duck's walking by looking at me, and I remember putting that water in my mouth, and it was awesome. That thirst to get there, to get that thirst, is what kept me going when it was hard. I could have stopped, but if I stopped, I would have, well, I wouldn't say I'd die, that's overdramatic, but I would have felt like I was dying. The thirst kept me going to hurry up and get to that water where I knew I could find that refreshment. You know, I was parched, I was tired, but when I got it, I'm like, whoo, let's go, I'm ready to go again, okay? Because I had that thirst, and finally, it was fulfilled. Let me ask you a question this morning. What keeps you going when things are hard? That trail was hard. What kept us going was, well, there's water at that halfway point, and the car's at the end, okay? That's what kept us going. What keeps you going when things are hard? What motivates you in life when life isn't easy? What is it that gets you going every day and causes you to keep moving forward and striving for something else? What drives you? If nothing's driving you, I pity you. Your life has a bad existence. We'll talk about that in another sermon. But what drives you? What moves you forward? What gives you purpose and meaning in life? If there's nothing there, we need to fix that, because I believe Jesus provides that purpose. But what gives you that meaning? What gives you that purpose? Or maybe on a more specific instance, as we think about our verse this morning, what do you crave or desire? What is it that you just are always looking forward to? What is it that you can't stop thinking about? What is it that you just get so excited just wondering about? What drives you? What do you crave? What do you desire? I heard it explained this way. What gets you up early in the morning and keeps you up late at night? I know I've used that quote before, but that one always stands out to me. What is it that you're willing to get up early in the morning for? Probably something that you value. You know, as I've gotten older, I am more of an early riser, but not always by choice. It's because I'm sore. But I think about different trips that I've taken. There's some things, I remember being in school, didn't want to get up early for school. Wait to the last possible minute sometimes to hurry up and get there. But when a dirt bike trip comes on Saturday, I don't mind. 4 a.m., let's do it. Hot dog, let's load up the bikes. We can do this. Get there early, right? That got me up early. What keeps you up late at night? Well, hopefully it's not just watching The Office on Netflix or something like that, right? But what keeps you up? What gets you up early? What keeps you up late at night? With that question in mind, let's look at the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, as you remember, this is our longest recorded sermon we have of Jesus. He gets up on top of that mountain. He sits down. The crowds gather around him. He opens up his mouth and he speaks. And they wonder, what is he going to say? What is Jesus going to address? What is the point that he wants to get to this multitude that are now beginning to follow him? And he begins his sermon with the phrase, blessed are the. And he lays out people that he says are blessed. But what he does with these blessings is he turns their idea of what it truly means to be blessed completely upside down. He starts off with, blessed are the poor. Yeah, poor in spirit is what he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They were thinking, blessed are the rich, blessed are the powerful, blessed are the wealthy. He says, blessed are the poor, but specifically the poor in spirit, the humble people. Blessed are those who mourn. Normally think, blessed are those that are on vacation. He says, blessed are those who've lost somebody. Blessed are those who mourn. Then he says, blessed are the meek, or blessed are the gentle. Usually it's the strong will survive. Usually it is blessed are the mighty. but Jesus says, blessed are the gentle. And then in this next one that we're going to be looking at here, falls kind of underneath the backdrop of the society at that time. You got to remember, most of your average people in the ancient Roman world at this time were not wealthy. Okay, I think they said like 30% of the population alone was slaves. Okay, so I mean, your average person wasn't, you know, the poets and the philosophers and the politicians and the statesmen and all of that. That wasn't really your average person. Your average person, you know, worried about their daily bread, right? You know, as Jesus would give an example to pray for. They were the people that were making it day to day, you know, trying to make it. Maybe they worked on farms, maybe they worked in cities, but it was day to day kind of labor. They didn't have an abundance. And they would look at the people who had an abundance. Maybe these wealthy people, these aristocrats that had the big banquets. Well, Roman banquets were known for their excess, right? And you can Google that. But I mean, they would come together and the wine would be flowing and the food would be there. And there was just this abundance. And your average person would look at that thinking, wow, those people are blessed. That's the kind of life that I wished I had. And you think about some of the illustrations in Scripture. Oftentimes when it talks about wealth, it talks about bellies being full. Because only wealthy people could have full bellies back then. And they would look at this, your average person would, and go, wow, I wish that I could have what those people have. But yet Jesus gets up there and he says this. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And before we get into what he talks about here, just that alone would be an attention getter. Because all those people, they didn't look at being hungry as a blessing. That was it. The one thing they would want would be that to just go away. We don't always even understand what that's like. I mean, we complain, we open up the fridge because we go, there's nothing to eat. No, it's nothing we feel like eating at that particular moment. But we have food to look at, right? I mean, that kind of, we have food in our pantries. I mean, even our homeless people seem to be doing all right when it comes to food a lot of times, okay? We don't understand in our culture the idea of a lot of times hunger and thirst. Yes, there are cases where people do starve, but it's a rarity. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. That's a desire that everybody can understand in all cultures, though. And he says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We'll talk about that righteousness in a second and what that means. But when you think about this idea of those who hunger and those who thirst, it doesn't matter if it's the first century, they knew what that feeling was like. And even in our abundance today, I'm sure we've had times where we go, oh, I'm starving. Now, really, we're not, but we know the feeling of hunger. Maybe you've tried to diet and you just gave in over and over again. We know how hard it is to overcome those kinds of desires, hunger and thirst. Maybe we've never starved, but maybe we've worked outside in the valley and it's 110 degrees outside. We know what it's like to be thirsty. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. All people can understand this. We get this. We understand that desire, the deep within. But Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for food. Blessed are those who want more on their plate. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, what's that mean? Righteousness is a word that religious people, we throw around a lot. We talk about live a righteous life. Well, what does that kind of mean? Well, here's some synonyms for it. Righteousness could also be described as holiness. Okay, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness. Okay, that helps a little bit. What's another way to look at it? Another way I heard it defined was this way. I thought this was a good way of looking at it because righteousness, we understand the word. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what is right. Hunger pains. Thirst is something that comes from within. It's all-consuming. It's overpowering, that feeling. We need to have that deep from within craving, desire for things that are right. That needs to be what motivates us. So our lesson this morning is basically going to be this. The right things need to motivate us. That's it. Oftentimes what motivates us is power. What motivates us? Well, let's break that down for a second. Let's ask that question. What does usually motivate us? What usually, and not maybe you as an individual, but let's think societally. Let's think, you know, worldwide. What usually motivates people? It's not a desire to do what's right. Sadly, it's not. Many times what motivates is sex, money, or power. Think about it. And why is it there's so many problems with immorality in our world today? Because people are motivated by sex. Why is it that people exploit and use and abuse and so on? Because they're motivated by money and they take advantage, or power, they want control. Even in a silly sense, when you think about social media and the idea of gathering followers and likes, those are representative of power. I have power and influence over other people. That's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's usually what motivates people. That's usually what we hunger and thirst for. Hunger and thirst are fleshly desires, not inherently wrong. We need those things, but we understand the feeling of hunger. Well, most people have an innate desire for sex, money, or power, yet in the kingdom of God, which we're a part of, the kingdom that's an upside-down kingdom, different from the rest of the world, Jesus says what motivates us needs to be that which is right. The people back then struggled to get food. They struggled to have clean water. Jesus says that insatiable thirst that you feel for water needs to be for righteousness. Do you ever find yourself desiring what is right so bad that it hurts? Now, let me talk about that for a second. I think we should. We should look at the world. We should look at sin. We should look at our own lives, and from deep within have this overwhelming emotion and drive to do better, to fix things, to follow Jesus, to connect with Him, to do what is right and stop the things that are wrong. If we don't have that overwhelming desire, we do not have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. He took our two most basic, simple, basic desires that all cultures could understand. Hunger and thirst. You need those things to survive. Well, a child of God needs righteousness to survive. We need holiness. We need things to be right. And that should overwhelm us. Have you ever been overwhelmed by hunger? You're like, I got to get something to eat. I need a drink right now. I'm thirsty. I can't stand it. That's the desire that we need to have for what is right. And sadly, in our ease of living, in our comfort, a lot of times we don't have that. We don't ache for righteousness. Oh, we ache to take a trip, to go on vacation, to relax, to watch TV, to unwind, to do our favorite hobby. We just can't wait to do those things. But do we want what is right so bad that it hurts? Ever heard of hunger pains? You know, in dehydration, your organs start to shut down and you'll cramp up. You ache for godliness. That's the kind of desires that we need to have. And according to this here, the people that are blessed are the people that ache for righteousness. So what I see then in this passage is that the only people, because as you read on, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, or they shall be filled or fulfilled. The only people that can ever truly live a satisfied life are the people that crave the right things. Sadly, we don't crave the right things. If we crave money, we're never going to have enough and we will never be satisfied. If we crave fame, we'll never be popular enough and we'll never be satisfied. If we crave comfort, we'll never be comfortable enough. If we crave a possession, we will never have enough. If we crave whatever it is, we're not going to ever find satisfaction. You'll be going through life feeling empty, having a thirst that you just cannot quench. But yet Jesus says, the only people here that are going to find satisfaction, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the things that are right. We hunger and thirst for people to come to Jesus. We hunger and thirst to help the poor. We hunger and thirst to see people live the Christian life. We hunger and thirst to hear the gospel. That's the kind of hunger and thirst that we need to have. We should crave the right things. Because if we're craving the wrong things, desiring the wrong things, we will never find satisfaction. What gets you up early in the morning and keeps you up late at night? What is it that you desire, that you crave, that you think about, that you want, that you can't get enough of? Is it righteousness? Is it right things? Is it holiness? or is it something else? You know, in the illustration I gave about, you know, hiking Half Dome, and I know some of you here in the audience have done way more cooler hikes than that, but that thirst is what kept me going at the end to get to the place where I could find satisfaction. It kept me going. Our hunger and our thirst is what keeps us going closer and closer to God. It helps us find righteousness. It helps us find holiness. It motivates us to do what is right because we are citizens in the Lord's kingdom. And we need to have the right motivation. Don't be motivated by the wrong things. Don't be motivated by ego. Don't be motivated by lust. But be motivated by a desire as strong as hunger to do what is right. And if we can do that, Jesus says, we're blessed. Now that's different than the way the world looks at it. The way the world looks at life is, hey, you have drive, you have ambition, it doesn't matter who you hurt along the way, you get what you want and you go get it. No. In the kingdom, we're motivated and driven by what is right. We have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, for we will be satisfied. The lesson is yours this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song. If you've been hungry and thirsty, though, for righteousness, and you haven't been finding it, you might be looking in the wrong place. Maybe you're looking at it in some kind of earthly sense, in a possession, in some kind of relationship, whatever it is. True satisfaction is found in righteousness. Righteousness is only found in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't have that, if you don't have that relationship with Him, life is going to feel empty. You're going to have something inside you, like a hunger pain, that you just can't fill. But I believe that you can find meaning, you can find purpose, you can find satisfaction if you choose to follow Jesus. You know, we have a baptistry behind me. You can choose at any moment, any day, hit me up, call one of us. We'll baptize you in the Jesus Christ if you're ready to have your sins washed away. If you've strayed away from the path of righteousness and you need to come back, talk to somebody. Help us to let you find fulfillment in your life once again, because true fulfillment, true satisfaction can only be found in following Jesus. I will stand up here for a little bit at the end of the sermon, but there's always an opportunity for anybody to follow Jesus at any time. Talk to one of us. We'd love to help you. But right now, let's all stand and let's sing.
Thanks again for listening to West Visalia Audio. We hope these messages have helped you grow and inspired you to take action. Be sure to check in each week for more on-the-go content or visit our YouTube channel to watch the live video. Thanks for participating and God bless.